And I'm going to read the first three chapters are all about this woman and God's dealing with her through Hosea, which is a picture of Christ. Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibilaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And Gomer conceived again, and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loraima, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, or by horsemen. Now when she was weaned, Loraima, she conceived and bare a son. And God said, call his name Lomai, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, that they shall come out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say unto your brethren, Ammi, and your sister, Rumah, plead with your mother, plead. Gomer, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them and done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, and that gave me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and shall seek them and shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines, her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then said the Lord, go unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend. This is still talking about Gomer. Yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. Now, the father of the bride is supposed to do this, but apparently he didn't care about her either. So Hosea has to bring in and do this stuff. And I said to her, thou shalt abide with me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. And the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Today we will consider this woman called Gomer. Indeed, one of God's children. If we are one of God's children, we are like this woman. We by nature are as this woman is described. We from birth, conduct, and practice are spiritually as wicked and deceitful and corrupt as she was naturally. This is like Paul says in Galatians. This is allegory. This is a true story, but it has a more than a historical reference. It has a spiritual application. So I asked the question, as I was sitting in bed, I asked myself this question, who is this woman? Who is this woman whose name is Gomer? Well, there's some words that describe her that I asked myself. As I thought about Gomer this week, I said, can I be this bad? Spiritually, I've never done some of the things that is listed here about her characteristic. Can I be this bad? Can I believe that I am a spiritual adulterer in my own eyes before a holy God? Is this me? From birth, practice, and enjoyment before God was indeed merciful to my soul. Can I identify myself? Because we get politically correct, we get, you know, there's so many precious things, so many good things, as it were, about the believer and his God and the relationships. We were talking about this, Melinda and I were talking about last night, Rahab the harlot. Isn't she mentioned like that? Isn't that her name? Why isn't the scriptures just say Rahab? She's a believer. And I made a comment months ago, it would be like, I pick on Bruce. I caught Bruce in a lie. Bruce the liar. Every time I meet him, every time I introduce him, Mom, I want you to meet somebody. Good friend. Bruce the liar. Now, I mean, wouldn't it kind of, you know, okay, knock it off. We are to remember the pit, says the scripture, from which we've been dug. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. If anything, this was more for me. I just thought, is this me? Well, let's look. The first thing she's called is a wife of whoredoms. In chapter 1, verse 2. This word literally means an adulteress and an idolater. An adulteress and an idolater. I know this is not a subject brought up much in church today, but God uses the term to describe us in our lost estate. Whoredoms. We cannot describe in spiritual terms us as bad and as rotten as we are. We have grown politically correct, even in the pulpit. No, we need to come to grips with terms used by God, the Holy Spirit, in a full and an open description of our own depravity. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. We cannot forget, as I said before, the pit from which we've been brought forth. We're constantly reminded of what we are, and then we're so constantly thankful for what he's given us in Christ. So she is the first word. This is described. Who is this woman? A wife of whoredoms. chapter 2, verse 2, plead with your mother, plead. She is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries. Adulteries is another term to describe this woman. We go astray willingly. Willingly, desiring other gods, other doctrines, other false forms of worship, all with our eyes wide open. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, we did. In this thing of worship God and spiritual applications, we know if God has shown us the gospel, we know what the gospel is not. But before that, we sinned as an adulteress. Naturally, we sinned spiritually with our eyes wide open. Like whoredoms, like an idolater or an adulterer. Fulfilling, the scripture says in Ephesians, we're fulfilling the desires of the mind and the lust of the flesh as everyone else did. Have we forgotten that? Have we become too sanctimonious? Well, I would never do that. Well, I remember it like yesterday. I listened to a message by Henry 20-something years ago. He said, David and Bathsheba, I'd never do that. And he said, you've never seen Bathsheba. Yeah. And the believer knows his areas of weakness. And I just warn you, be careful. We're not as strong as we think we are. And that could be jobs. That could be recreation. That could be other things. If you know you have a weakness, don't go there. Because it's our natural tendency to be whorish. It's our natural tendency to be adulterous. Chapter 2, verse 3. Lest I strip her naked, as in the day that she was born, and make her a wilderness and like a dry land. Naked. That's another description. Before God, before the presence of God, we do not have the necessary righteousness that God demands. We're naked. He says we're naked before Him. We can't hide from Him. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He knows everything. We cannot hide. He uses the term wilderness and make her as a wilderness and like a dry land. Destitute of saving grace, helpless, hopeless, the scripture says, without God in this present world. That's what we're like spiritually. We may be the best person, we may be the nicest neighbor, but we're without God, we're destitute of the grace of God. We're in a wilderness. This is what we've come from. This is what we've come from. Chapter 2, verse 5. For her mother played the harlot. She conceived them and had done shamefully. The harlot. The word harlot means in Hebrew, wanton. Isn't it? We thought we were okay. Yet we lacked any goodness. We served idols rather than the true and living God. We were wanton. What do you mean I'm wanting? I've got plenty of food, I've got plenty of clothes, I've got a good job. If you don't know Christ, you are wanting. We're wanting. That's why we need grace. That's why we need grace. Chapter 2, verse 10, and this really got under my skin. And now I will discover her lewdness. Now in the margin, if you have a margin, that means folly or villainy. But what it means in the Hebrew, properly, disgrace. You ever hear that anymore? Oh, that was disgraceful. You don't hear that. Disgraceful. The absence of grace, and that's us. We're lewd. Lewd. Which we do not possess by our own doings or our own works. We're without grace, which God uses to save sinners. We from birth are graceless. Graceless. That's a good disgrace. Lewd. And I'm looking at all this, and before I looked all this up, I'm just laying in bed and I'm going through this because I knew the story. I didn't know these many terms about her, to be honest with you. I had to look those up. But just the basic, just whoredoms, that was the one that got me. That's it. Not the middle son. Not my mom's middle son. Yes. And it just got crawled all over me. I may be uncomfortable. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable here. But that's the beauty about the gospel. It makes your flesh uncomfortable. And it should. And it should. Chapter 2, verse 13. What's going on here? And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. What we have is what's going on in churches today. Will worship. Doesn't make a difference to the denomination. They come in, preacher says a few things, makes them feel good. It doesn't matter. There's no order. It's a theater. Just do what you want. God will accept it. The bottom line is, we went after lovers and forgot God, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer. We'll worship. Don't be deceived. Whether we think so or not, all people worship something. This is why, to me, atheism is just a joke. Because they worship themselves. Or they worship their work. Or they worship their boyfriend or girlfriend. Everybody, we were created to worship. And so everybody, whether they say they're free of religion and the tanglements of it, everybody worships something. Either God in grace, the God, or a false God, or themselves, or things. Everybody will worship. This is what's, don't be deceived. Whether it's God in grace by faith, or self, sin, false God, to our own destruction. So this is her. This is you. This is me. Outside of grace. Now I ask you, I pause right here before I have a few concluding remarks. Because I'm just going to read it. It's just so good. Do you meet the criteria in Hosea? Do you meet the criteria and the conditions of Gomer? You know you do, or you know you don't. I don't understand it. I'm not paying attention. I fall asleep. Whatever. Do you meet the conditions, the criteria of this shameful, lewd woman? If you meet this criteria, if this woman, Gomer, is like you spiritually, if you fit the testament and conditions that this sinner shows forth, then look at verse 14 forward. This is for you. This is for me. Therefore, I will allure her, says God, and will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. That doesn't make any sense. Well, to the unbeliever, grace never makes sense. We saw this in Galatians. It's from above. Grace is from above. It's not of this earth. It's not earthly. It had to come down. You can't do anything for it. All you can do is believe what the record says about it. This doesn't make sense. He's still talking about Gomer. Yes. Verse 15. I will give her her vineyards from thence, in the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Belial. That is, I'll call you my husband and not my Lord. The mean dominating lord? Can you call him that? Are you Gomer? Can you call him the Lord your husband? For I, God, will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. I think about how I was raised in Methodism, Methodist Church. I can't remember a whole lot about it. I just knew it wasn't the grace. He just kind of takes it away. And now you're concerned about the gospel, the God, the faith, the baptism. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven and the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. How can this be? We're talking about the God of the Bible. We're talking about this woman named Gomer. His ways are not our ways. He delights to show mercy to 1,000 generations. That's what Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. He delights to show mercy to 1,000 generations. Thank God in the person and the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has covered my shame, my sin and wanderings, and he set me among his dearest ones whom he foreknew. He's done it all. I, verse 19, will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindnesses and mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. I believe I love him now. But I don't know if I'll love him to the end. He'll betroth thee unto him in faithfulness. He will. It can be tough, but you'll be faithful because he's faithful. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. I can't believe it. Laying in bed, I said, am I Gomer? I said, yes, I'm Gomer too often. But I identify him. And I'll take verses 14 through the end of the chapter as promises that he will never leave me or never leave you or forsake you. Rotten to the core. Whore, adulterer, lewd, naked, in wilderness, disgusting, vile. Yes, we are. But that's what Romans says. That's who he came to save. Not good people. Not righteous people. He came for sinners. Are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? Am I... That's why I titled it, Gomer and I. Never get away from it. Never get away from it. No matter how politically correct and how, you know, I don't think these kids are going to have to go to see a psychiatrist and going to have to talk them down off this kind of nonsense. No, they've heard the truth. And I don't care what kind of truth it is. If it's the truth, what does the scripture say? It will set you, me, free. Now, I just preached the truth. Now, I preached the depravity of man, and I haven't preached the depravity of man this direct and this bold and this hard, you know, for a long time. It doesn't matter. It's truth. And if it's truth seen, if it's truth believed, if it's truth rejoiced in, it'll set you free. Because I know one thing about somebody who's in trouble. They're going to seek help. And we see the only person who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he did. Satisfy God's requirements on our behalf. May the Lord honor and bless his word. And just think about it. Just think about it. What we are. Like John Newton, I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad he's shown me his grace. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. and like you. His people, whom he foreknew. Nathan, would you close us?